I want to thank you for that very appropriate scripture reading this morning. The sower and the seed, and the appropriate words of the cutting of the Word of God. May that happen this morning. As we look at Genesis chapters 1 through 3, we're working our way through these chapters. I'd like to read for us this morning Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. In your outline, we're continuing where we left off last time. We had finished the first half of this third day. We looked at the creation of the seas and the dry land and so on. And this morning we're going to look at the creation of vegetation. You know, in the past week, as it happens to me on numerous occasions when I read the Word of God, some new insight into the Word causes me to marvel again at the wonder of the Word of God. This time in my reading through the scriptures, my daily reading, I came to Chronicles. Now, if you read through Chronicles, you know that the first section of Chronicles is some fairly difficult reading because it's genealogy after genealogy and so on. But somehow, as I read those genealogies this time through, I marveled at the genealogies. For the first time that I can recall, it really struck me how important those genealogies are to the Word of God. The continuity it gives to the Word of God. The credibility that it gives to the Word of God. I just marvel at the Word of God. Now I tried to imagine this week the Bible without Genesis 1 through 3. I can't. The gap would be so vast if the Scriptures didn't have Genesis chapters 1 through 3. And I'm looking forward to going through these chapters and the truths that we will find in these chapters that apply to our lives. And young people, sometimes it's not real exciting, some of this stuff, but I want you to pay attention to these chapters. If you should understand these chapters and have them settled in your heart, it will help you in many areas of life. If you have these settled in your heart, you would be safe in our colleges. If you have these settled in your heart, you would be safe in our universities, places that are otherwise unsafe places. Well, we are looking at day 3 of creation, which would be Tuesday of our week. We saw that first the waters were gathered together into one place, and this took place in my understanding as God put into place the forces of gravity and so on. It's interesting that God created out of nothing in the beginning. And then afterward, he created out of things he had already made. It is so with us, you know. Somebody said God can't begin to do anything with us until he can make something out of nothing. We're nothing. And once God has made something, then he begins to work in our lives and to bring forth that which he wants. Well, God called the dry land earth and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And we notice in the text, in verse 10, the end of verse 10, God saw that it was good. Then God named the dry land and the gathering together of the seas and so on. And now we want to look this morning at the second event of day 3, or the third event of day 3. And we're looking at vegetation. It's interesting how God in these 7 or 6 segments completes creation. And creation is not complete until man was made. Man completes creation. Man is the crown of creation. That actually will be the main title of our second chapter, Man, the Crown of Creation. So let's look at the third event of day three then this morning. Look at verse 11. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself." We have here, first of all, in this verse, the classification of vegetation. So there's a large field of study that in our secular schools, or I guess our schools at large, we call biology. Now, I don't know. I'd like to see how many have taken biology classes. I wonder how many have taken biology classes. Now, let's see how many have not taken any biology. Okay, I fall into that category. I haven't taken anything in biology. Well, biology is a vast field of study that studies living organisms, and it is broken down into two smaller fields of study. I wonder if anybody this morning knows what those smaller fields are. Biology broken down into two smaller fields. Anybody know? Well, they are botany and zoology. Botany deals with the study of things like this plant here. See, it's rooted into the ground and can't walk around like I do. Botany studies these types of things and classifies them and so on. Zoology studies living organisms that can move about and aren't rooted into the ground and so on, and that is the study of zoology. They're the study of living things, but classified into those two areas. Now, botany studies living organisms that are inanimate. They don't move around as we do. And within these two large fields of study, there are specialty studies. There are specialty studies in botany. There is a specialty study that is called taxonomy. I wonder, anybody know here this morning? What is taxonomy? Taxonomy. Taxonomy classifies everything into its families and groups and so on. So it's the classification of things. I want you to notice that we have in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, botany and taxonomy. Notice here. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree." Here we have all of vegetation spoken of in these three classifications. It is botany and taxonomy at the same time. Now, here's a question you might ask a botanist, if you were to ask a botanist a question. He would answer questions like this: is a tomato a fruit or a vegetable? Who knows? Isn't a fruit or a vegetable? a debated one. This is a question you might ask someone who is a botanist. You may check it out with such a person. And in these verses, we deal with this type of a thing. And I want you to notice that the classification given in God's Word is grass, herbs, and trees. That's the classifications. Now, those classifications do not fit necessarily our modern botanist classifications. But if you should be going to school and you find that these classifications do not fit our modern classifications of plants are based on evolution. What evolved from what? Now, they don't know. They don't have the answer, so you don't have to be too intimidated by that. In Genesis 1:11, we have a useful and practical classification of all vegetation: grass, shrubs, herbs, and trees. Now I want to make a practical application out of that classification this morning. See, this passage is rich in application, and we want to look at a few of those as we move through this passage. In the area of vegetation, we find it classified into three kinds. When we come to mankind and mankind's spirituality, we classify man into two kinds. There are the saved and the unsaved. There are the justified and the condemned. There are the sheep and the goats and so on, the good and the evil. We have classified man into two kinds. And so we have the righteous and the unrighteous and so on. This morning, you may be classified as saved or unsaved, just or unjust, evil or good. Now, I want to make a warning this morning. There is, in our day, a fast-growing doctrine of tolerance. Tolerance does not like classification. It does not like people to be classified into saved and unsaved, just and unjust. The new doctrine is not classification, it's unity. That's the new tolerance, and it is something that is growing. If you are out and abroad in our Christian world, in the religious world, you will find this. Mankind no longer wants to be classified. The very thing that God did here to vegetation early in creation. For instance, there is the development of the ECT. I'd like to know who has heard of the ECT. Okay? The ECT is the Evangelicals Catholics Together. I have heard in this community, I have been asked if Catholics are Christians. Are they a Christian denomination? My friends, I want you to know this morning that the Catholic doctrine has not changed since they were stringing up Mennonites. Did you understand? I've been amazed that this question has come over and over again. But there is a movement abroad in our day that is uniting evangelical Christianity and Catholicism. Are you aware of this? There is the uniting, the moving of the class. We don't want classification, we want unification. We are moving into the last time where we are going to bring about the one world church. We no longer want to be classified. We want to be unified. I was teaching in Spy Hill Prison one time. Seated around the outside of the room were many natives. And right off to my left here, slightly behind me, was a rather large native. And I was teaching, as I always did. There is only one way to God. There's only one way to God. And if you are not on that way, you're on the way to hell. And we're teaching as I usually did. Now I find that it is becoming offensive to do this, to teach that there is only one way. This native is sitting off to my left here, jabbed me on the shoulder like this, and he said, "Hey, are you my brother?" Now I knew what he was getting at. The brotherhood of mankind. I turned and I looked right at him and I said, "Hey, are you a Christian?" He said, "No." I said, "You are not my brother." I thought I had started Third World War in that room. I tell you, I had animosity. The whites and the natives together were upset at this message, classification of mankind, and saying I was not a brother with him. It wasn't because he was native and I was white. Oh, no. It was because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and he hasn't. That's the reason for the classification. Today we are trying to do away with this classification. My friends, I want to warn you this morning that it is abroad and it is going to grow. You don't have to be a prophet to see that it is going to grow. And the time will come when you will not be looked at kindly, even by people who call themselves Christians, when you classify mankind like this. Classification. Well, I want you to look in this verse at the laws that God put in place regarding vegetation. Verse 11. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself." Now, the words that I'm looking at are the words that brings forth after its kind. God put in place here biological laws that determine that everything will bring forth after its kind. As a matter of fact, this occurs some 10 times in this first chapter, that everything will bring forth after its kind. I did some grammatical studies on this rather difficult verse. Matter of fact, I thought I would offer you $50 if you could diagram verse 11 for me. Bring it in to me. I'll give you $50 for diagram verse 11. According to grammar. But in my studies, I came to the conclusion that everything brings forth after its kind, modifies the grass, it modifies the herbs, and it modifies the trees. That is, all of these will bring forth after their kind. It is significant that this phrase should occur 10 times, a number which is significant in Scripture. Everything produces after its kind. I want to look at this law as it relates to vegetation this morning. I do not know, I'm not a biologist, and I'm not very educated in those areas, but I do not know of a law that man has tried to break more than this one. Man has tried to break this law that everything brings forth after its kind, and they have tried to cross the kinds. It's amazing what they have come up with. To date, they have never yet defied this law. Now, they have tried, they have spent millions trying to do this, but to date, they have not been able to do that. Now, you can, within certain families, you can cross certain types of plants and get a different type, but it must be within a family. You can't go outside the family and so on. And you can cross various different kinds of apples, but you still have apples. They still bring forth after their kind. The laws that God put in place here are so sure that you can count on them from year to year, from millennium to millennium. Now, I'd like to make an application out of that this morning. Everything brings forth after its kind. That's a scary thought, as well as a comforting one. The Lord uses an illustration of this in a graphic way. Turn to Galatians chapter 6 this morning. Galatians chapter 6. Let me read verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, my friends, I wonder how many of you sow canola in the spring and expect wheat in the fall. Any farmers here like that? I wonder how many of you sow peas in your garden and expect potatoes. This is a law so sure that God has taken it over into the spiritual realm, so that we want to make some application from this. I want to warn you again this morning. When we sow, we will reap. When we do things that are wrong, we are sowing and we will reap. It's amazing that we expect that we can sow without reaping. I think this morning, and I'm deeply grieved, that within among our own people we would have things like head shaving. My friends, it's not the head shaving I'm concerned about. It's the seed. It's the identification point. I want to tell you this morning, you cannot sow without reaping. Can't be done. I want to tell you this morning that when we sow, there is only one way I know to take care of it. That's to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I did wrong. As I prepared for this message, I had heard, and I am deeply grieved, that among our young people, there should be those who would listen to rock music. I want to tell you in no uncertain terms, you cannot sow without reaping. Can't. And my friends, what kind of fruit do you think these will bring?
Are we going to reap godly fruit out of this?
I want to warn you this morning of television. That what you let in is sowing. I want to warn you of videos this morning. I'm not saying you can't do any of these things. I'm just warning you, watch what you let in. Videos, television, some of these things, magazines are such traps. And they get a hold of you. And they bring fruit. They will bring fruit. I can assure you they will bring fruit. They will. I firmly believe, young people, not only young people, all of us, I firmly believe, I have walked with God now for over 20 years. I think I'm getting to know God a little. I firmly believe that if you live in these types of things without a deep soul-moving repentance, that when you have children, you will bring forth after your kind. The only thing that concerns me, friend, they seem to get worse and worse. You see, God said here, let it bring forth after its kind. It still does that to this day. It does that in our spiritual life too. It does that in our life. I trust God will speak to you this morning. Work up the ground, as was read this morning, and cause you to reconsider the things you do, see, hear, take in, and so on. May God do it for me too. I want us to notice the reproduction of vegetation. Verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit, according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. We had the parable of the sower read this morning. Seeds. Now, this morning, you will doubtless have heard this question. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? Have you heard this one? Who can tell me this morning? Which one comes first? What comes first, the chicken or the egg? What comes first? Well, you know, Genesis chapter 1 answers this question. Actually, it's answered in vegetation, and it's answered in the animal world as well, because both of them have the same progress. You see, we'll see later here that in the realm of animate living organisms, the order is the same, and we're going to take our teaching here from the inanimate organisms, like plants and so on, and see what comes first. Now, let me ask you this way. What comes first, the grass or the seed? What comes first, the herb or the seed? What comes first, the tree or the seed? What comes first? What comes first? What's that? The plant. It's not the seed that comes first. Did you notice that God didn't make seeds and put them into the ground and grow it? Did you see that? He made the plants with the seed, right? The seed will not go into the ground until man has been created. We're going to find that later as we study this. So from now on, you can answer this question. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? It's the chicken that comes first. We'll see it as we look at the animal world as well. Well, this study of the field of seeds is a very, very interesting area. Take, for instance, the way God has designed seeds with regard to dispersal. I notice our lawn has these things that grow up there, beautiful yellow in the spring, maybe come in onto the kitchen table, and a little later they grow taller and they get white and puffy. Have you seen those things? You can lift it up like this and go, and the seeds just fly all over. Dandelions, we have them all over the place. It's very interesting the way God has designed seeds and the way they are dispersed from one place to another by wind or by water or by animals and so on. Seed dispersal is very amazing. Never mind the seed itself. Consider for a moment this morning the dormancy of seeds. See, some seeds were frozen in the Antarctic. I talked to you about the mammoth animals that were found in the Antarctic. Now, there was some animal dung found there, remained with some seeds in there. They estimated that these seeds had been there some 10,000 years. Well, we think, according to creation, the world not quite that old, but it's at least they've been there several thousand years. They took those seeds, put them into the right conditions, and within 48 hours, they sprouted. Thousands of years old. They found a grain seed in the pyramids of Egypt. Been lying there dormant for several thousand years. They planted this grain seed and put into the right condition, it brought forth fruit. Life in that seed for all this time, lying there dormant. I'd like to take a few lessons for our practical life from seeds. You see, our mind might be likened to a garden in which one might sow good seeds or bad seeds. We've been talking about that some. Seeds are distributed in various ways. There are good seeds that come in. There are bad seeds that come in. And I warned you already, I'm not saying all videos are bad. We use videos ourselves. But I want to tell you that more seeds are planted like that than many other ways. Through television or videos. It's so that a person must watch what kind of seeds go into the mind. Because they will bring forth after their kind. I'd like you to think this morning of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you can renew the mind by putting the Word of God into the mind and placing that in the mind. You see, whatever you plant in your mind is going to grow and it will bring forth after its kind. You might say to me this morning, look, I watch a lot of TV, I watch a lot of videos, it hasn't changed me. See, that's the danger. That's the danger. It may be that there might be seeds lying there that have not yet had the right conditions. And you may become older. It may be 10, 15, 20 years down the road, and all of a sudden the conditions are right and you do some horrible deed and you say, why did I do that? I can't understand myself. Why did I do that? You see, the conditions were right and that seed has been lying there dormant all these years. And now all of a sudden the conditions are right and you bring forth fruit. Fruit you never thought would come about in your life. There's only one way I know how to weed the garden of the mind. That is through the Word of God. When the Word of God reveals something as wrong and I say, oh Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, Lord, and I won't be walking that way anymore. Then God pulls the weeds. Not until we repent and change our mind about those. You see, these seeds are distributed in our minds in various, many and various ways, and we must do all we can to watch how they come in. Well, I want to make one other note here, a kind of a scientific note, that when God created vegetation, when God created animals, and when God created man, He created them full size. He created the trees here so that they were bringing forth fruit. So all of biological creation, vegetation and animal was created in this way. Full grown at the moment that they were created. So the tree may have appeared like it was 100 years old, but it was only a day old at that time. Let me read Genesis 1, 11 and 12 again. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. I want to make a concluding point here before closing the message. And that is that we find in conclusion to day three, three very familiar clauses or sentences. One is, and the evening and the morning were such and such a day. This occurs seven times in the chapters of creation. And there is another one that says, and it was so. God said, let it be like this, and it was so. It's interesting. When God works with inanimate beings, trees, grass, or even the animals, and so on, when God worked with these, he said, let it be so, and it was so. But man was created with a free will. And now God had to command, but it wasn't necessarily so. Man could go against the laws that God put in place. Not the seeds and the animals and so on. When God made the dandelion and said it should bring forth after its kind, that's what it will do from now and from now on. That's what it does. But when he made man, he said do this and do that and do that. Man had a free choice and man did not have to obey. And man does not obey even to our day. Maybe this morning you found yourself, you say, yes, maybe there is something that needs to go in my life as well. Something I need to take care of. Then may the Lord work in your life and bring that about. Man has this awesome, most awesome capacity to choose to do as he wants. Then there is another familiar term here, and God saw that it was good. I wonder if anybody remembers the definition of good yet this morning. What is good? Good. Anything that lines up with the will and character of God is what is good. What God made here was in line with his will and character, and he saw that it was good. Now, God had said that it was good on several occasions already. I think it's said seven times in the creation account that it was good, so on. And I want you to think for one moment this morning of a world without vegetation. Try to think for one moment of a world without vegetation. What kind of a world does it become? You can hardly imagine, right? When God created vegetation, of course, it is good. So on day one, God made a place for man to exist. On the same day, he made light, which makes everything visible in man's existence. On day two, God made the atmosphere and mixed it with all the right gases in order that man could exist. On day three, God separated the water from the land so that man could exist on the land. And on the same day, he made the grass, shrubs, and trees. And this is God's main provision of food for mankind, the creation of vegetation. Then there is one more familiar term here. It says, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And this is repeated again. Now, let me ask you one question. We'll answer it here. We'll answer it somewhere down the line. Why didn't he say, and the night and the day were? Why did he say, and the evening and the morning were? Why didn't he say, and the night and the day were? Well, we'll answer that in the future sometime. You can work on that. 3 days have gone by in creation up to this point. Two heavens and the earth have come into existence, light has been created, the gases have been mixed, as we mentioned earlier, the atmosphere has come about for man's existence, the water has been separated from the land, so man would be able to dwell on the land, and so on. And in 3 short days, we are nearing the time when the earth will be ready for the most awesome creation of all, mankind. You know that when man went to Mars, they were expecting to find some kind of living beings up there. They're still looking for some kind of living beings out there. There has been sound equipment made seeking to get messages from the outer universe, trying to pick up messages from living beings elsewhere. So far to date, only man has been found to live, and that on the earth. Amazing when you consider it all. Well, may God bless you as you consider these truths. The truth that everything brings forth after its kind, and how crucial it is of what we do and say and then God's way of taking care of it when we have done otherwise. God bless you.